You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. And free agency is right around the corner. It is going to start this Sunday, June 30th, at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So they moved it back a few hours from it used to start July 1st at midnight, right? And so we used to always get those tweets and, you know, us, people like you and me who, I don't know. I don't even know if you did. Stayed up for all that crap and just was like, yeah. For me, at least, it was 9 p.m. Pacific time, so it was a little easier for me.
I mean, you start seeing the flurry right away after midnight, and you're kind of curious to, you know, I mean, obviously the first, it seems almost symbolic or like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like more of a celebration kind of thing, like to make that first phone call at midnight, you know? It's for showy purposes more
first
than
call at 12:01 a.m. Yeah.
Like they haven't been in discussion with their agents for months already, you know, after the season ended or something.
Yeah, Al Horford's going to get a call at 12:01 from Mark Cuban and be like, Mark?
Hello, Mr. Horford. Yeah. This is Mr. Cuban. We've never spoken
before. I didn't have your number saved. Yeah. So they're moving it back to 6 p.m., which is going to make it a lot easier for a lot of people to at least follow it on Sunday. It's going to be this weird, I guess, look, it replaces Game of Thrones for me on Sunday night, I guess. I'll just be like sitting in front of my computer on TweetDeck waiting for all these Woj and Haynes and Shams bombs to come through. The Heat probably aren't going to be making a big splash on Sunday evening. But I wanted to take a minute here and just sort of let's get ready for this from the Heat's perspective, because I still think that something is going to happen. And it's not going to be to the point where the Heat land superstar X, but they still have some team needs to fill. They still have a roster spot to fill. And they still have a taxpayer mid-level exception that they can use. And they can always sign guys to veteran minimums. But I want to start with the idea that, look, after this draft, the Heat are about $4 million above the – a little bit more than $3 million, I should say, above the luxury tax apron. They are going to probably have to get below that. I don't see how they do it just yet. They could just renounce – a whole bunch of guys. They could just cut bait with Derrick Jones Jr., Yante Mate, and Duncan Robinson, Udonis Haslam, and these other guys, and get below it, but you're just going to have to sign guys to replace them, so you're going to go right back over it. So that's not a realistic option. We assume that they're going to waive Ryan Anderson and eat about $15.6 million. So that's probably going to happen right away. We've already heard reports that Whiteside is going to opt in. We expect Goran Dragic as well to opt in, but one way for them to get under that tax is to convince
Goran Dragic. I thought he officially had.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did officially. Yep. Okay. I have that note right here. Yep. Opting in on June 13th or whatever it was. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe we see a move where it's not going to be flashy, but maybe it's something similar of a Tyler Johnson for Ryan Anderson type of thing, where you move a James Johnson or a Deion Waiters or a Kelly Olynyk or something like that for maybe a slightly less useful but cheaper player. Maybe we see something like that happen.
So not signing him via free agency, but acquiring him via trade.
Yeah, in exchange for a bigger contract.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a move. We're recording this on a Monday, and we just saw a move earlier today that it's kind of somewhat perplexing. Kent Bazemore of the Atlanta Hawks being traded to the Portland Trailblazers in exchange for Evan Turner. And on the surface, doesn't make much sense for either team, really. On both players,
I like it for Portland. I guess for Atlanta, you're getting a locker room guy and Evan Turner, and if you're Portland,
Do you consider Bazemore to be a better player than Turner at this point?
No, but I think he just fills a need because I think they're worried about Rodney Hood leaving because they don't have his bird rights and they're capped out. So it's a wing, you know, where Evan Turner was basically like a backup point guard for the most part.
And they were both scheduled to make the same amount of money, exorbitant amount of money. Was it $17 million or something like that?
Yeah.
So those kinds of salaries, I mean, they can still be moved. I'm not sure what you'll be getting in exchange for Deion Waiters.
Another bad contract for just a player who maybe fits what you need in exchange for a player who fits what they need. And that's I'm glad you brought up the Bazemore for Turner thing. I think that's exactly the type of move that we could see happen. But in Miami's perspective, you're probably looking for a player like, all right, James Johnson making $15 million next year. If you trade him, you're probably looking for a player making $10 or $11 million next year. to get under that tax, that luxury tax apron. If you trade Kelly Olynyk, who's making $11.7 million, you're looking for somebody substantially cheaper, about $3 to $4 million cheaper. Deion Waiters making $12.1 million next year. You're probably looking at somebody making closer to $8 million in exchange for Deion. And that player is probably going to be significantly worse or less useful than Deion, or could even maybe have as many years left on their contract as well, but it's just for a smaller annual amount. You know what I mean? Going forward. So, again, not going to be splashy, but I could see something like that happening. I expect something like that to happen. The big one is Hassan Whiteside. We heard Pat Riley say that this roster will largely be the team that is in place going into training camp, that he expects that to be the case. And they do have, like we saw last year, they waited until February's trade deadline to get under that tax. That's probably more likely to happen. But I do wonder if they look at Whiteside's $27 million expiring contract and use that in some way as an asset in order to maybe take on some long-term money elsewhere that's smaller annual portions.
Well, that would be, I think that would be a great move, but I just, like, I keep coming back to the same thing that I'm just not sure what kind of team would want to accept Whiteside's salary. Like, I mean, we've talked about a potential trade for Kevin Love. I mean, I guess from Cleveland's perspective, maybe they wouldn't mind. They're obviously in a rebuilding year. I mean, they're going to continue to be rebuilding next season as well. And so if they're willing to move Love's contract, which I don't think is so bad. Like, a lot of people think it's incredibly egregious. He's getting paid a lot of money the same way Chris Bosh got paid a lot of money for being a complimentary player to LeBron James. That's fine. I mean, Kevin Love is still a very good player. He can contribute at a pretty high level. Are there issues with his defense? Yes. He's a good playmaker. He's an excellent rebounder. He's a solid scorer. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about a player. And look, whether the money is the right value or not, whatever. I mean, I think it's so hard to judge that from the league perspective. As far as Whiteside's concerned, I just...
Well, wait, the Kevin Love thing, I agree with you. I think that salary is not nearly as bad as people say. He's got four more years left on it. It's not that bad. It's not $44 million like Chris Paul. It ends up being 32 or something like that. It's just right around $30 million. For a player like Kevin Love is not bad. And if you're the Heat and you're hoarding this cap space for 2020, Kevin Love at $30 million is better than anybody... It's better than any free agent in 2020. Hmm. He just is. He's as good, if not a better player than anybody available in 2020. And if you want to argue 2021, sure. But you could still buy, if you're the Heat, and by 2021's free agency, you can have Kevin Love on your roster for $30 million and still have $60 million in cap space. The Heat are the perfect team to trade for Kevin Love, and I just don't like. And it's going to take more than Whiteside. Mm-hmm. But I would be on the phone with Cleveland. I've said this 100 times. I would be on the phone with Cleveland trying to get what you can with Kevin Love. It doesn't really hinder any important long-term flexibility, and it gets you a good player right now. Kevin Love would be the Heat's best player right now. I would be doing it. Anyway, maybe – look, I'm still holding on to hope that something like that can happen this summer. I am.
It's harder for me to get to that point. Like, I mean, I think the goal for Miami is obviously to acquire a superstar player. I'm not sure, even if Kevin Love doesn't fit that mode, at least he is a better player than anybody else in the roster.
Can we get a list of orcas from Pat Riley?
I think Love would be on there, that's for sure. And we've also heard them have some interest in DeMar DeRozan as well, mm-hmm. and we both kind of shot that down when we talked about it.
Yeah, I don't love that one.
You know, I think the Jimmy Butler thing is still in play. We've heard a lot that Philadelphia won't be able to re-sign both Jimmy and Tobias Harris. Some days it seems like they're more likely to sign Jimmy, and the other days they're more likely to sign Tobias, and I don't think we're going to find out until, you know, probably midweek, you know, after free agency starts.
That's going to be an interesting thing for the Heat fan, if you're a Heat fan, monitoring everything that's going around, because the Heat aren't going to be players right away, but they're going to be players maybe after the fallout of a lot of things that happen after Sunday evening and a couple of days after that. But let's take a quick break here. You're listening to Locked On Heat. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency. Follow along on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. So you mentioned the Jimmy Butler thing, David. And if you're the Heat, is that... Are you working the phones trying to figure out signing trades? I mean, even if you're the Heat, I know you don't have cap space, but you could be calling legally these free agents now and telling Jimmy Butler, hey, we'll make it, like, if you want to come here, let's try to figure out a way to make it work. I mean, I do wonder who Pat Riley is calling at 12 or 12:01, 6:01 now, 6:01 Eastern time on Sunday. Like, is he calling anybody? I or do you just wait and see? I don't know.
No, he's getting the early bird special at whatever diner he likes going to. No, I don't know.
Golden Corral?
No. Riley does not strike me as a Golden Corral.
They opened up a Golden Corral right around the corner from me, and I have no complaints with Golden Corral. I've eaten there maybe once in my life, and I don't remember it. It's probably because I'm young, and if Golden Corral wants to sponsor the show, you're more than welcome to. But I could not believe the line for just in, not because it's cool, but it's just a buffet. And I could not believe the line for the one buffet restaurant. It was literally out the door and around the entire restaurant. It did a full loop. I mean, it has to be, and people take their sweet time at buffets. It's not an In-N-Out situation. It ain't Panera Bread.
No.
It is, people take a long time there and get their fill.
You want me to give you a pro tip for Golden Corral? If you ever decide to go there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait 3 hours for it, but sure.
No. Apparently, I can't remember exactly at what time they shift over from their lunch menu, quote-unquote lunch menu, to their dinner menu.
Right.
Let's say it's 4 o'clock. I think it is 4 o'clock. And then, of course, at 4 o'clock, their dinner menu has more items like, I don't know, steak, lobsters, things of this sort. Again, I don't know how much faith you want to put in Golden Corral lobster. That's your choice. Either way, that turnover.
I'm sure it's wonderful.
Yeah, and look, the price increases for the dinner price as well. You go there at 3:45 or like 3:20, whatever, 3:30, something like that. Yeah, right before the shift's over. Like you said, you're going to be there for a long time anyway. You pay the lunch price and you get the dinner menu later on. It's almost
that
like
makes a lot of sense because that line out the door was right around at 3 o'clock. I bet you a lot of people knew that pro tip and they were ready for it. So maybe it makes more sense. No, maybe that's what the line was there for. So Pat Riley, when he's at Golden Corral at 6 o'clock on Sunday, right after he's done with his lobster and prime rib dinner that he got for $12.99,
nice.
Is he's going to walk out of that restaurant calling who?
I think Elton Brand. I think that's the move. Like, I think, you know, finding out exactly how the kind of, you know, I'm sure they've already talked, but my feeling would be that he contacts Elton right away and kind of, and I think there's a good relationship there. I mean, Elton always had high respect for the Heat organization. You harken back to 2003 when they tried to sign Elton Brand away from the Clippers as a restricted free agent, and, you know, they signed him to an offer sheet, which Donald Sterling matched unexpectedly, and then they wound up going after Lamar Odom instead, also another Clippers free agent that they wound up stealing. So, you know, I think Elton always appreciated that move from Riley. He wanted to sign here. I don't think he was just using the Heat to gain more money out of the Clippers because it was the Clippers and everybody wanted to leave there as quickly as possible. So I think that there's, you know, a mutual respect, and I can imagine Riley getting into a phone call with Elton and kind of discussing the details with him and kind of going over what their plans are and seeing whether or not there's an opportunity for Miami to kind of jump ship there and see if maybe they can get involved. Because we've heard reports that Jimmy's interested in joining Miami, and I don't know what Butler's intentions are. Like, we tend to assume or project, I think, for the most part, that players want to pursue championships. And I don't think that's the case. Like, Kyrie Irving has already won a ring, and if he joins the Brooklyn Nets, they're not going to win another ring anytime soon. They're going to be a playoff contending team, perhaps, but I think he has a better chance of winning a championship in Boston if he had stayed, you know.
Unless he gets Durant to come with him wherever he ends up.
Well, okay. Sorry.
Even that, I guess, is arguable. Depends on what Durant looks like when he comes back. But I think you're right, and the connection between Jimmy Butler and Miami has been there, and Miami could have made that move to get Jimmy Butler at the beginning of last season. They didn't because they didn't want to include Josh Richardson ultimately, and I do think that there was a little hesitancy on the Heat's part to lock into Jimmy Butler long-term, understanding that he's your best player, and by the time that contract, if you're going to have to re-sign him this summer, and that contract could look bad in the last year or two of that deal, given that Jimmy Butler is going to be 30-plus years old at that point. And I don't think they want to lock themselves into that sort of deal with Jimmy Butler as your best player. And I do think Pat Riley was smart enough to say, Jimmy Butler as our best player doesn't get us very far. Jimmy Butler next to Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, that looked good. I mean, it didn't look good. Aesthetically, it was awful to watch, but it was one of the best starting lineups in the league, and they got to a Game 7 with the team that ultimately won the NBA championship. So it was good enough. But I would... when Pat Riley makes that phone call to Elton Brand after his Golden Corral buffet, he's not going to offer up any of the young pieces because he didn't before. When it was right there in front of him, he didn't do it before. He's not going to do it now with Josh Richardson a year more along in his development, and Jimmy Butler, of course, being a year older. So it's going to have to be basically for nothing, or something close to nothing. And I wonder if he says, like, what does that look like? Does he say, Elton, look, you can let Jimmy Butler walk away for nothing and go join the Clippers or the Brooklyn or whatever, or we'll give you Hassan Whiteside to be your backup center, Goran Dragic to be your backup point guard or something. Like, we'll get you – it's not going to be equal value, but we'll get you at least something useful that you otherwise could not get, because even if Jimmy Butler walks, they're still capped out.
See, I kind of disagree with that, and I think part of it is because of the way – just the calendar worked out. When they were having these discussions for Jimmy when he was in Minnesota – I think you could still kind of pin enough potential on Josh Richardson and hope that he would turn into perhaps an all-star or borderline all-star player. Mm. And that didn't work out, obviously. He struggled in the lead role. He kind of felt more comfortable being a complimentary player. And I think that while he might have still wound up being Miami's best player, he was still short of whatever goals or expectations the team had of him. And so I think now you're kind of saying, well, maybe the bloom might be a little bit off the rose. And you know, part of the problem that we've had with Riley recently is that he seems to be, if not necessarily emotional, he is tied to these players. He's giving them, you know, unbusiness-like levels of confidence and faith and contracts that wind up, you know, hurting this team in the long run. And one of the things that you and I have talked about recently is that the Riley of old was more than willing to make the harsh decision. So I wonder if he kind of departs from the Riley that we've seen, the grand paternal version of him that we've seen over the last couple of years, and says, you know what, if I can get Jimmy, I will do whatever I have to do in order to acquire him. And if that means moving Josh, that's fine. And to your point, I think there are still enough young players left on this roster that when Jimmy eventually starts to grade at the end of his contract, you'll see other players potentially emerge, you know, like Bam and or Josh or Justin Winslow, you know. And I think that's a big part of it, is that you can still have enough young players as compliments to Jimmy Butler, watching them hopefully develop internally.
Oh, and sorry, Tyler Hero too.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. And J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler, not to make the easy white person comparison, but J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler had a nice two-man game develop in Philadelphia, and maybe you can lean into that a little bit with Tyler Herro. Look, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I actually would agree that Josh Richardson's stagnation last year actually hurts his maybe overall long-term value, maybe value to the Heat.
Yeah.
I just don't see Pat Riley moving him still for Jimmy Butler, understanding that you are giving away a piece. And I do, for, you know, a player who moves the needle, I just don't know how much. Now, if you can somehow finagle a way to go get Jimmy Butler and Kevin Love together on one team, now you're talking. But let's take a quick break here. When you're driving on your work commute or just around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat, and we will be there with you for the drive. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. David, we're talking about Jimmy Butler here. Maybe the Heat would be willing to move Josh Richardson. Maybe they're willing to move maybe a little bit more of a minor piece or a more veteran piece for Jimmy Butler or something like that. Is that, to you, the best-case scenario for Miami this summer?
Yeah, I don't see any other player that's of a higher level making the decision or trying to force another franchise's front office into a sign and trade or a trade, you know, explicitly to Miami. You know, Miami's just at a point right now where they can't attract a lot of superstar players because they have middling talent, because their expectations aren't as high. They're not a finals contender. They may not even be a playoff contender. And so while a superstar could help them get over that hump, it's probably not enough to get to the finals or finals contention. And so, you know, I think Jimmy has, he kind of identifies with Miami's work ethic. He's seen enough from Dwayne Wade. There's a close friendship there. So that makes a lot of sense. But otherwise, I just don't see any superstar player around the league trying to force, again, their respective franchises' hands by saying, trade me to Miami. So Jimmy and the acquisition of Jimmy is probably Miami's best case scenario, in the sense that while he's got limitations, whether due to his age or because of his game itself, he is your franchise player right away. He is a very, very good player, and he's also a player that could potentially lure other superstar players in the future, whether it's via trade or, you know, again, that's the kind of player you need. We have made this point recently in why they didn't go after Kevin Love. Why didn't they go after Mike Conley when we were criticizing the front office? And that's our reasoning, is that nowadays you need to have a superstar player there in order to attract other players. That was Dwayne Wade for 13 plus years. You know, unfortunately, now that's no longer the case. He's no longer available here. And so who's coming to Miami to play alongside Justice Winslow? Who's point guard or not a starting point guard, depending on who you ask? Yeah. You know, who's coming to play with Josh Richardson, whose development might have stagnated and you're not quite sure about what's next for him? Bam Adebayo, again, same thing. You know, he may not start. You know, he may start. Or is Hassan Whiteside the kind of player that anybody around the league says, I can't wait to join Hassan?
No. And look, I actually think going into next year, it would behoove the Heat to really lean into Bam Adebayo and see what it is that he can do. This is a guy, he plays center nominally. They touted him as a forward when he was a rookie. They let him, you know, handle the ball and bring the ball up in summer league. I think you just do that. I really think you lean into that and just say, you know, I don't think he's Giannis, but do we have some Greek freakness here? Like, is there something like that that just becomes such a mismatch nightmare? Like, players today, like the best players, the superstar players, are really, really smart about the teams that they want to be on. And they want to be on teams with guys like Bam, if Bam pans out the way we think he could, into this versatile, positionless guy who can man the center spot and take those assignments on defensively, but also bring the ball up and just create all these mismatch nightmares for opponents. People are going to want to play with like the actualized version of Bam Adebayo. He's got a good personality. From all accounts, he's a good locker room guy. He's not a loud personality by any means. I think actually the biggest personality on this team right now is Tyler Hero. And that's fine. Maybe he develops into something real and he becomes a player somebody wants to play with. But I agree with you. Best case scenario right now is you're able to maybe get off of Hassan Whiteside, loosen up that question at center, and that way you just make Bam the starting center and there's no ifs and buts about it, and you just go into that next era. And if you move off of Whiteside, maybe you're able to get something in exchange for him that is of some value, even if it's not Jimmy Butler or Kevin Love, or just something that helps, maybe a future asset. Maybe you're able to just move him for a couple of future second rounders. We've seen how useful those things could be to move up in drafts and to grease the wheels at the trade deadline. Just something to create a little bit more flexibility than where the Heat currently are. That, to me, is probably their best case scenario. But we'll find out. It starts June 30th, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's the beginning of free agency, and it's going to be a whirlwind for another 2 months after that. You can lock it down all over here. That's it for today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Make sure to get your mailbag questions in. We're going to have a mailbag later on in the week. We'll do a pre-free agency mailbag if you want to do all free agency themed. I don't know. I just saw Toy Story 4. I thought it was wonderful. If you got questions about that, tweet us those things too. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.